In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Laetare is an oasis in the midst of the Lenten wilderness. Like those who followed Jesus into the wilderness for 3 days, the past 3 weeks have been quite taxing and exhausting. You've heard of your own demonic affliction. You've heard how the devil doesn't leave you in peace, but hounds after you without ceasing. But you have also heard how Jesus overcomes on your behalf. Today, though, is different. Today is a day of rest and peace, a day of refreshment. Today, Jesus stands in the midst of the Lenten wilderness, bringing you rest, giving you peace, refreshing you by feeding you. And this refreshment he brings is yours every day. Jesus is your peace, your refreshment, your rest in this life. From the scorching and withering attacks and lies of the devil, Jesus gives you cool shade and the forgiveness of your sins. By daily contrition and repentance, he continually leads you to the cool, still waters of holy baptism. Jesus fills your empty belly and quenches your thirst with his body and blood. Why does he do this? This life is a desolate wilderness of slavery, demands and accusations, of want, need and fear. A wilderness you cannot escape or save yourself from. In one way or another, you're always in want and need. Surrounded by terror and dangers at every turn, you know this doubt and despair of Saints Philip and Andrew all too well. Yet Jesus has mercy and compassion upon you. He comes to be for you an oasis. Jesus brings refreshment in the multiplication of bread and wine. Thus this boy, an historical figure, is yet allegory of the Christian. The Christian brings his offerings to God, and he does great things with them. The apostles, obviously, are also historic, but also an allegory of pastors. Jesus isn't teaching you here to share, but he is showing that you have a part in his kingdom, that he includes you, that he blesses and uses the works of your hands, that your good works are in fact good, and that by them he provides for the world, for the church, and for the neighbor. Jesus knows what he is going to do. He's going to feed the people. What the disciples say and do, what the people give or how, determines how he feeds them. If this boy had had a flask of wine, then there would have been plenty of wine for everyone at the feast. This is what stewardship is. It isn't sharing or cooperating. It's not that the Lord returns what you give. Rather, the boy gave away his bread and fish, and though he had enough to eat, he got nothing else. He probably didn't take anything home, and it certainly didn't make him rich. But neither did he withhold it, grumbling that he'd only give if Jesus did as he demanded. Stewardship, then, is that the dollar you give in faith, out of love for God and neighbor, will do more good given than it will in your pocket, and that what you do for and in the kingdom, God blesses and multiplies. But the reality is that the Lord gives you a choice and freedom in these things. The crowd isn't lectured, and there aren't any wild promises made about what will happen if only they behave better or give more. The boy simply moves out of love in freedom because he wants to. And Jesus blesses it, multiplies it, and provides for thousands. This unnamed boy, without honor for his gift in this life, played a most significant part. More significant, perhaps, than even the apostles themselves. Your part in God's kingdom is also significant. Your service to neighbor, family, state, and church is seen and blessed by God. He multiplies your prayers, efforts, and gifts in order to provide for his children. Yet stewardship and God's blessing of your gifts is not the main thing here. This miracle, like all miracles, is Eucharistic. You pray for daily bread, not to remind God that you need it, but that he would lead you to realize that he is the giver, and that you would receive it with thanksgiving, or in Greek, Eucharist. For apart from the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there would be no mercy or providence, no bread for hungry people. It's only because the Father is reconciled to you in his Son, declaring you righteous for his sake, that he loves you, and that anyone, believer or not, has anything close to what's necessary for this body and life. For food is more than simple practicality or base necessity. Jesus knew what he would do. It's fellowship and pleasure. Jesus doesn't only provide on the mountain for the hungry and the unworthy. He also provides for himself. He joins them. He who did not eat when the devil tempted him with bread in the desert, now eats bread in the desert made lush and full of green grass. Jesus now eats with sinners made saints. Thus he burdens himself with your shame, guilt, trouble, and affliction, in order that you would go free. Jesus burdens himself to give you rest. He nails it with himself to the holy cross and dies that you may live. Jesus cools your tongue with the cool, refreshing waters of baptism. He gives you shade in the holy absolution. He calls you to rest at his table, filling your belly with his holy Eucharist. Thus indeed do his rod and staff comfort you and guide you. Jesus gives the bread of life from heaven, his own body and blood, by the bloody sweat of his brow, crowned with thorns, by the toil of his body, pierced and his blood poured out upon the cross, and by the hardship of his enduring the full wrath of his Father and the fires of hell. And yet death cannot hold him. He burst its icy bonds forever. His labor is vindicated, and you live in Jesus forevermore. So don't be surprised if mixed into all of this is stewardship or even vocation. This is simply who God's people are, his stewards and officers in this world. When the scriptures speak of you, this is how you're described. But the real thing here, the most important thing, is that Jesus knows what he does. He loves, welcomes, feeds, and eats with sinners. And as he did then, so he does now. And so will he do forever. Jesus welcomes, feeds, and eats with sinners, even you. So it doesn't matter quite so much how the bread and wine for communion got here today, how it was paid for, who prepared it, and so forth. And yet the fact of the matter is, some here gave the money that did pay for it. Someone went and picked it up. Someone on the altar guild counted out the bread and measured the wine and set out the sacred vessels. The rest of us just showed up, just like the people who followed Jesus on a 3-day journey into the desert. And all of this is blessed by Jesus. What matters is that He provides. He knows what He will do. He gathers you for Himself. Jesus feeds you with His body and blood, and thereby bestows forgiveness and blessing upon you. Today is an oasis in the midst of the fast. And in many places today, this oasis looks, physically, visibly looks, like the softer, more moderate color of rose. The black and blue hues of the penitential violet are removed. And this is in token of the fact that by His death, Jesus makes children of the promise from those of the law. By filling the font from His side, Jesus washes those born of the flesh with the Spirit, and they are reborn from above. And the absolution flowing from His crucifix, Jesus makes the sons of Hagar into the sons of Sarah. In His crucified body and shed blood, Jesus sets those bound in slavery free. But today is just an oasis, a respite on the journey. We can't stay here. We must leave this oasis, turning toward Jerusalem, to the plotting, scheming, betrayal, torture, and death. As the liturgy will soon become more sparse and austere, as even the symbols of joy are hidden. But you know, in this oasis, in the wilderness of this daily life, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the passion and death of Jesus Christ is your true joy. What the world sees as weakness and defeat is, in fact, strength and victory. Come then, and receive your rest in the Lord Jesus. Not just today, but every day. Receive your refreshment and joy in Him. Let the devil and the world rage against you. Don't be afraid if your bank account is light, if your spouse and children despise you, if the things of this world are out of your grasp. You belong to Jesus. And He Himself knows what He shall do. He gives you His body and blood to eat and to drink in this wilderness, even as He Himself works everything to your good. You belong to Jesus, and He shall raise you up on the last day. Rejoice. Rejoice for joy, all you who are sorrowful. Rejoice, for the Lord is indeed at hand. In Jesus' name, amen.